Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite, and we're going straight up to 2 o'clock. And while we were off air, I was really going through a number of WhatsApps, and a couple just want to bring to your attention. This person called wrote and said that they called the pharmacy to have their prescription. Their prescription was prepared and was just waiting for them to go in, collect, pay for it. Of course, that pharmacy is located in a supermarket. When they got there, they went to the security. Security said, "But no, you have to get into line. You cannot go into the supermarket to get your medication." That's all the person wanted. Clearly, some initiative has to be shown here on the part of the supermarket, where if the medication has to be collected by someone and they give the time, maybe they could have up front, somebody can bring the medication up front and the person can be allowed to pay. The name is there so that they can come in and pay and get help, so they wouldn't have to wait. And they, of course, would not jump the queue in the sense that they would not be allowed to buy groceries. They could only come and get their medication. So that's one of those things that would have to be looked at. One of the other things, before we went on to ICAP, the ICAP 5 minutes, I was talking to Ms. P about the situation with the police, and tremendous. I've had so many WhatsApps on that, it's unbelievable in that short space of time. This person, I think, encapsulates what some of the other thoughts that are going on here. This person said, "No respect, no disrespect to the law, but if any police officer stops me and he or she is not in any police uniform, I wouldn't be stopping. Sorry. I need to take care of my family and stay safe. I'm not going to allow myself to get robbed or my wife to get raped. She's also an essential worker and I have to pick her up at night." And a number of people here have been saying, quite frankly, that they strongly believe that at night, police should be in uniform, because when you stop people, you are not in uniform. And when you get out and you are armed, they are thinking in terms of robbery. So maybe the police force need to relook at that, because people are concerned about it. So it's an issue here. So let's all try to see how we can work to get around that problem, because as Ms. P pointed out, rightly so, I think, that if a person is a licensed firearm holder and they stop believing that it is the police, and the person who gets out of the vehicle has a gun but is in plain clothes, and if he feels threatened in any way because of the gun and he begins to shoot and then he shoots an officer, it's another story. But I mean, you know, we have got to make sure that these sort of accidents don't occur, okay? Because we have to protect life and limb at all costs. So maybe the police force needs to relook at that policy again of having people in plain clothes patrolling at night like that and stopping people. Because obviously you would need the patrols, you would need to plain clothes patrols at night, because, you know, you need them to really catch the bad guys. So it's quite obvious you need that. But to actually be stopping people and asking about the curfew, I think they need to be looking at that and just have people in uniform. We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I'm trying to be as good as possible. Mm-hmm. What I want to mention here, I think it's time enough Royal Bank come to the front with their operations. I think they are lacking. This morning, I called Royal Bank to find out about cards that I applied for. One expired since February, did not get it, and there was another one. When I did, the first thing the machine was telling you have to wait 15 minutes. I think that is very poor service.
Basic machine, you mean when you go to ATM?
No. When you dial the number,
mm-hmm.
the machine that got sent to tell you where to go over the internet, the first thing they tell you might have to be at 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, when I did get through, I hold on. A lady came on the phone and said to me, well, I would have to see where the card's gone. Well, I know the Kingston branch was closed. Because when I went there the last time, the cards were not there.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually now, the lady said, well, what I can do, I can give you a number to check and see where the cards are. I'm surprised you won't believe. I got two numbers, and one, when I called it, was a hair salon. The guy told me, you are the seventh person from that call Royal Bank that called me. And she said, I bank with Royal Bank. I don't know why they're giving out my number.
That's clearly a mix-up.
I said, thank you. I'm sorry to disturb you. The lady said, but I don't understand why Royal Bank is giving out this number. So the other number, I tried calling. You can't get through. Nobody. So here it is. My last place was to collect a card at a hair salon. And the lady told me straight, she banked with them, but she don't know why she's giving out her number.
That's clearly a mistake. Obviously, the person who wrote the number down copied the wrong number. That shouldn't happen, but it happened. These mistakes occur. In fact, what I'm hearing here is it demonstrates about being, you know, when in a situation like this where everything is on lockdown, where the access to proper information is difficult. Well, the access to information within institutions like that is difficult to come by because they're not operating on a day-to-day basis, and you can easily access them because that way. When the frustration of trying to find out simple things, like you're trying to find out with your card, is compounded by silly mistakes.
But the thing is, I don't leave home, and I am not one of these young people. I'm not going to stay up and like, is that I have something, I'm trying to get my business in start so that when my banking day comes, I'm making one trip. I don't want a number 84758, and I wait 15 minutes, and then you send me to somebody's cell phone number. I can't walk about the road, so I don't have anybody that going and doing things for me. So I have to put my business in place before I move from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of these little spring chickens now, so I have to make things to suit me, and I'm not going on the road. I'm inside almost every day. I haven't left home since 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could compliment you on that and being responsible. Just let me say before we go, when our conversation terminates, don't put down. Give the operator your number, because I'm sure somebody from Royal Bank will try to contact us here at Brass Tacks to get your situation clarified, because these people, they have their, somebody's always monitoring this program. But your frustration is quite obvious, and it is real, you know. And it's things like these that will make this period more difficult to bear. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is why everybody has to try to cooperate. Everything that we do today matters. You know, the little things are going to get on our nerves. Things that we would have overlooked normally during the course of the day. Like, in other words, if the bank was open 5 days a week as usual, the usual times, all the branches open, and you can make a couple of calls, it would be a little frustrating, and you'll get vexed a bit, but at least you would get through within quick time. Now, because the banks are essentially on a skeleton staff, it makes it even more difficult. So the bank has the bank, and I'm not picking on the Royal Bank, but every institution that is functioning, is that has to serve the public, what in whatever way they do, their employees got to get whatever they're doing correct the first time, because there's very little room for error. And when an error occurs, it's going to cause major frustration to people. And at this time, when people are already anxious, they don't need any sort of frustration. None whatsoever.
And the thing is, as I say, I'm not on the street. So when I move in,
right.
I move in once.
I agree with you. You're doing the right thing. I'm trying to frustrate you. You know, that is the problem. So as I said, I have no doubt that it's just an error. But at this time, it would be compounded because of the environment that we're in. So stay on the line. Give Michelle your number while I move on to the next call. And so what we'll do is try to call Royal Bank and then contact you after I put them in contact with you, okay? So just stay on the line. You don't put down. We go to the next call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello? All right. Just let me read this. Hello?
I'm hollering. I'm saying good afternoon, but you're not.
Hi, Mark. Sorry, Mark. I didn't hear you.
You got the weed. Weed something?
No. That was. I was just doing a WhatsApp. I have more WhatsApps, man. Let me put it this way. And I don't think this is just me. But every moderator. We get so many WhatsApps. Okay. And that's why I said earlier when I came to warn that please write your WhatsApp properly, because when we come to it, we're gonna just read it straight. Yes. And if there are any mistakes, we're just going to, as soon as we glance at it first and there are a few mistakes and we can't quickly correct it, we can just move to the next one because there's so many. We can do a program easily on just WhatsApp. Honestly, there's so many, right? But so I really try because there are a lot of good ideas and a lot of good points that are made by people here on the WhatsApp, and we try to get it over. But anyhow, Mark, talk to me. What's on your mind today?
I have three things.
And my condolences to you, by the way.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. I have three things in mind to talk to you about. But I want you to know first that sometime back, we had a saying that there were two Barbadoses. Mm-hmm. But we must understand there's something called doing it the Beijing way. So if the policeman operates at that level, that is the Beijing way. Whatever happened that is not supposed to be professional, the guy with the bank ESS now, that is the Beijing way. We've got a way of doing it called the Beijing way. The Beijing way is not what really takes place. It is a way of destructiveness and a way of what they consider to be uneasiness. Now, I heard several people talking about agriculture, and I'm glad that they've now come to realize that when they bought that land and they talked about putting the house on it, they thought only of cement, concrete. They never thought of a little area that they could plant some vegetables and make sure that they could feed it. A lot of them spend money every month now, what they call a lawn. They want a lawn. So that's the Beijing way. The Beijing way of doing things is the reverse way. If you're going to complain about agriculture, you're also going to find yourself in a situation that you don't make sense. And also the position as far as I'm concerned for lawn. You must have a lawn. That's the Beijing way. The other thing, Mr. Price, is that I don't see how we're going to have a lockdown and their complaints about vehicles on the road. And one of the people who believes that since we have enforced this lockdown, that we should also enforce what is known as no tinted glass on the roads of Barbados, no tinted glass air condition on the road of Barbados. Everybody should see who's driving the vehicle at this time. And I think what the police should do and what the police is supposed to do, because it's law. You know, the fact of the matter is that even the police vehicles I've read something about where they said that they should not be driving with the glass up, but they said it was all because of air condition. But this is a special time in our lives. This is something that's never happened before in our lives. This is what you call lockdown time. This is understanding time. And if people have to disadvantage themselves for a period of nights and a period of days, by having to bring down that window, by having to understand fully that people must see who is driving the vehicle. But that's the basic way. Another thing we are going to come up with surprise shortly, we're going to bounce back. You know why we are going to bounce back? We haven't heard anything about the Unistat conference yet, whether it's on or off. But I have reasons to believe that come November, come December, that everything may be on stream. So if that is the case, then that is what I consider to be a way for Barbados to bounce back quick. Bounce back in the sense that we're going to have a situation where the country would be benefiting from not only visitors to the island, but benefiting from the dollars that are likely to be spent and coming into the island. So Barbados must do a little bit of sacrificing at this time, hoping that when we bounce back, that we bounce back and can recover all grounds in a very fast and supreme manner. I'm of the opinion that if we bounce back, tourist industry is going to be one of the biggest things that would ever happen to this country. So when we want to find faults of it now, one must look back and see that when you drive past the Caroline Bay, I used to see the amount of ships that had to go on anchor. That is a content of the future. That is what you're going to prepare for as far as the future is concerned. But we do it the Beijing way. We do it the Beijing way. And I'm saying that until we understand that we cannot do the Beijing way, we have to do at the level that is expected of people, not doing it all day and think that we're going to satisfy people. And I think the police force would understand that they've been getting a lot of respect from the average Barbadian. And if there is a complaint that somewhere along the line the people are not happy with the approach, then I think that somewhere along the line they should revamp their approach. We should be able to say that as far as we're concerned, we're doing our jobs. We don't want to disadvantage the Barbadians in any form as far as our work is concerned. And they should receive the instructions and carry the instructions, because it'd be foolish for police to get out of care at night in this day and age. And somebody feels somebody's going to rob them, and then you know you got some foolish complaint going on. I think that the police got to set the example. I think the police got to approach the matter confident that they are in control, not from a secondary position. And this idea of people wanting to freak out the police, this idea that people believe within themselves that they can do all types of things and get away with it, the police are up to that. The police are up to that. So in closing, my feeling about this is that we got to understand fully we cannot continue to do it the Beijing way. We have to do it the way that is the way.
Okay. Thank you very much for your contribution, Mark. I agree with you totally. Have yourself a great day. I just want to read, there are a number of people who are writing in telling us about what took place today at the supermarket. And this one is well written, so I'll read this one. But I've also had complaints about situation at Popular in Christchurch. And the one at Six Roads, Emerald City in Six Roads as well. In terms of the long lines and the long wait, and we did hear Mr. Bino, Andrew Bino, in the news talking about the system. So it's what I'm going to read for you is something that we heard about in the news and we know is happening, and the videos going around on social media. I've seen a couple of these videos and these long lines. This person wrote, "I queued at Massey Oystens for 3 hours. Very orderly and everyone wore a mask. Great. I didn't get in. Unfortunately, the staff were very unhelpful and did not keep the queue informed of what was happening and were rude when people tried to ask for clarification. Around 50 people were left outside when it closed at 11. Another problem was that those who shopped bought extremely large amounts. The shops should be open all day to accommodate everyone. I couldn't shop for my 86-year-old neighbor." respect, and in fact, I've read one or two. No, I read one WhatsApp too, where somebody was saying that they expect this is going to happen, where people were going to come and they're going to do a lot of shopping one time. And the only way the system is going to work is if people come with this list, with a few items that they need, they get what they have to get, and in 10, 15 minutes, they're back out. So that other people, so there'll be a consistent flow of people in and out of the supermarkets. But if you're going to come in there and you're going to have a trolley loaded down, you know, it's going to prove problematic. And yes, you're going to tell me, but you know, you're the person who buys, and you're buying for everybody. It's your turn. Your name today, so it's your turn to buy, so you buy for everybody. And that has to be respected. Okay, fine. But the reality is that if more and more people go with that mindset and do that, then an increasing number of people will not get the basics that they do need. So we have to find a compromise. This is a time to be our brother's keeper. We really have to try to think about other people and how we're disadvantaging other people by our own behavior, you know. And please, I mean, as much as possible, try to get in and get out of the supermarket in a timely fashion, and so that other people can get in and get out the same way, so that more people can be serviced. It really needs to be done. We need to start thinking in terms of other people as well. I also want to share with you this other one here that came in. This person is saying, I am a person who loves technology and look forward to the technology being utilized in our everyday local situations and problems. Although I see M-Money as a government solution, which I do prefer, I would still like to see it being used to solve many problems, especially in the areas of areas of payment. Why can't this system be linked to bank accounts and made mandatory as an option for all public transport and vendors in public for easy payment using QR codes? Can you have someone from M-Money speak on this? Yes, of course we can have somebody from M-Money speak on this, but there'd be an ad. And as much as I may agree with you, and I do because that's why I read this, it is one of those technologies that I think that we seriously have to look at in this country. It is one of the positives I think that will come out of this whole crisis, where we start looking at other means of paying for merchandise. And one of them would be to have M-Money or that type of a cryptocurrency on our phones, so that we can just get a phone scan with a QR code and the money is immediately deducted. So there would be no need for us to be walking around with a lot of cash on us, you know. And so that's a security measure in itself. So these are the sort of technologies that we have to start to be thinking of seriously and actually begin to implement, because even in a situation where after a natural disaster, for example, as long as you get the internet up and running, then you can actually do commerce through that way. So, you know, we don't have to remake the wheel, people. We really don't. There are a lot of different technologies that are out there that are useful. They're being used in other parts of the world very successfully. We just need to adapt it, but we cannot continue doing the same thing that we've been doing all these years and expect that we're going to really progress. You know, it's one thing for us to look at what is happening in other parts of the world and saying, do you want that to be happening here? But for those things to happen over there, we, the people of Barbados, we've got to make a change. In other words, there are people I know, they talk about how clean when they go to England or they go to certain parts of the United States, how clean and beautiful the place is. Yeah, we can get Barbados like that too, but we have got to stop dropping our wrappers all over the place, our cups all over the place, and recognize that those people don't do that, okay? Because they'll be fined on one of them very quickly, because closed circuit television cameras may pick them up and they can get a ticket just like that. So the technology is there, but it's there for us to implement changes in our country, positive changes. But the biggest change that needs to come about is our attitude, the way we do things, the way we approach things in life. And this, I'm not coming down on anybody, so don't think I'm talking down to anybody, because I know that's the first thing, as soon as you open your mouth in this country, people start saying you're disrespecting them and that sort of foolishness. I'm not into that. I'm just saying what needs to be said. Things that politicians don't like to say, because politicians like to be friendly with everybody. Okay, I don't have to be friendly with everybody. I just like to tell it like it is. The reality is that we as people have got to be serious about what we want to achieve for our country and for basically ourselves. If we want to live in a better environment in Barbados, we have got to make it possible by pulling our weight to make it possible. So when we see foolishness, we got to tell people they're doing foolishness. We have to be willing, you know, the police there will see something, say something. We got to be willing to do that to get the criminal element cleaned up. We have to be willing to do a number of uncomfortable things. We can't leave it for the next person to do. And that's what we've been doing. We've been kicking the can down the road. We've been turning the blind eye and expect things to change. It don't work so. We have got to take that step ourselves to try to make a difference in this country. And we can do it. Okay? And what we're going through in this crisis tells us, it's given us some idea of what can happen if we don't pull together, if we are not responsible. So the majority of people are staying home. The small minority who are not observing the curfew, the small minority who are still mingling, the small minority who want to do what they want to do, they are endangering our lives. If we see that, call the police and let them know. This is foolishness going on here. I know, for example, one of the main difficulties some people are having in some districts, and this was addressed yesterday, I think, by the Minister of Minister Edmund Hinkson, Minister Home Affairs Edmund Hinkson, burning stuff. People are home, they begin cleaning up the place, and they just burn stuff. You can't burn stuff like that because somebody's asthmatic. Somebody got those respiratory problems. This is happening. Again, it's about responsibility. You can't do these things. You have to think about your fellow man. Okay? The next thing that's happening is, and I personally hear it, you know, one person playing loud religious music, the next person playing a loud set of reggae, and the next person playing a whole bunch of calypso, and you're caught in between that. If you want to play music for yourself, play for yourself. I don't need to hear it. But these are the sort of things that are happening that are causing a lot of unnecessary tension at a time when people are already people are already anxious about everything that's going on, because 5 people have died so far. And COVID-19 or the novel coronavirus is not somebody you can... You can't identify it in any one particular person or any particular thing, okay? And therefore, because it's an unseen enemy, you're scared. That person you care about so much could be the person who would bring it in and give you. And that's why you got to protect yourself at all times. So it's a scary time. We don't need the extra tension. So everybody got to start looking out for their fellow man. Have a conscience, basically. To get off my soapbox. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Finally. yes, I have a concern. I'm a taxi driver, right? I'm trying to get some clarification on what's the official position of a taxi driver is, because I was stopped during the day. I had to drop a person who had to get some medical attention urgently. And the police told me that I should not be on the road. I'm supposed to have a pass. I was on the impression that public service vehicles, which is a taxi license, a public service license, that we are still allowed to drop people where they need to get. Like, people might need to get the pharmacy, supermarket, whatever. You're still, I know there's no, you're not allowed to go on the street, like, loitering or congregating or stuff like that, but I was on the impression that we are still at public service vehicles. If a person calls us or we have a job to do, we can still go. So there's some uncertainty. I would like to get an official, some person to say officially what is our position.
I can't clarify. I'm as you were speaking, I was looking through here, the different categories. Basically, I'm looking through the Emergency Management COVID-19 Curfew Directive, number 3 directive. So I'm looking through this right now, and I have not come up so far with the that aspect being covered. What I can promise you is that what we would try to do is to get Desire at some point to comment on that. For sure, though, you're really not supposed to be on the road unless you have a pass. And the fact that the police, who, by the way, are doing a tremendous job, because I think that the fact that they are actually stopping people and explaining to them why they should not be on the road, and asking them to, you know, please go off the road, demonstrates that they're not using a heavy hand. They're trying to be more persuasive and trying to get people to cooperate, which is excellent, because I think this is the way to go for now anyhow. All right?
But that poses a problem too, because, like, the person that I went to pick up, and I'm sure there are other situations like this, where people cannot get out of the house by minibus or public service or transport board bus or anything. The guy you're about to get up, he's incapacitated. So there's no way he's going to get this, and it's critical for him to get his medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So then there need to be an official word on that. Like, if you go to pick up some person, every person stays in the house, they can't get the medicine, they can't get it otherwise.
And I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. I agree with your argument.
Right.
Because the first call that we had today, I think it was the first call, the person, the elderly lady, 72 years old, I think she's from the Black Rock area, can't get her medication. It's there, but she can't get it from the polyclinic. You know, what I'm saying is, an area that has to be clarified. I would prefer to have the czar clarify that, but he's not available. He's in the CARICOM meeting right now. I did get a note from him, because I did write him earlier because I wanted some other things clarified. So what we would do is think, because it's a good question and it's a genuine concern. It is a genuine concern. But,
right.
I'm just trying to emphasize the point to you at the end of the day, that despite the genuine reason you have, people need to understand that they really should not be on the road at the same time, unless it's a real genuine reason. But all right. Well, I've noted it, and I will try to get hold of Desire. When I get hold of Desire, we can try to pass that answer on to you. Okay.
Oh, please do. Okay.
All right, man. Any other concerns?
No, the other concern, I was just in relation to the same thing, because I'm saying, like, they told you to get a pass, but, you know, the website is not even coming up properly anymore now. To talk about
the what? Sorry, any of that?
The website that they give you a website to go to apply for a pass.
Uh-huh.
It's not even, there's, like, you're not getting a response. So the pass, the whole pass thing is another thing altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody needs to address that, because that is, and then I said, like, be your public service vehicle, so some person needs to address that.
Yeah, but technically public service vehicles are supposed to be off the street as well. The only transport rate that's supposed to be going is the, unless you're doing the social distancing, you know what I mean? So it is an area, as I said, that that should be that needs to be addressed specifically, and I think the experts should do that. And I've made a note of it, and they'll do that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good man. Thank you very much for your question. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Go right ahead.
Hey, yes. I'm calling in with several issues, but I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible because I don't want to drag on.
Just speak slow so that we can all understand you. Take your time.
Sorry.
Go right ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying, basically, I agree with some of the points that you made. Some of the points the other callers made as well about one of the issues currently is that there people are doing things the Beijing way, which is generally being laid back and taking your time and being late. That's a big part of the issue, too, even with the supermarket, because you were saying one of the problems or the main issue is the list, the lack of a list and going in and shopping as if it's a regular time.
Mm-hmm.
I always write a list, and as you can see, I do everything quickly. Right now, I'm trying my best to slow down speaking because I usually do. Right? So I always write a list for everything. Even if it's because I already know what I want. And when I went to, I was avoiding it for a very long time. But I had to do it because I'm part of the essential services, so I had to do it right before the shutdown happened. So I can't avoid it anymore. But even then, I find that the system is not efficient. Because I was saying, even with the supermarket, if someone came early enough that they could give a number for the people that came, so at least you know, well, this person was first, this person was second. Because to be honest with you, when the people get there, they're not going to know who was first. And that's another question. Some of the essential services people were not in uniform. So that created problems too with people that was waiting there for probably like from the very, very early hours of the morning as soon as the curfew broke, and some that probably were even there before the curfew broke.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that is going to be a source of animosity towards people because everybody's thinking, I won't get in there, I won't get what I need. And you just see these people going in before you and nothing was said to the people. So I think that's another problem too. You need to have communication, and that's a big problem in Barbados as well, lack of communication. But you just expect people going to see people going in there and they're supposed to act. Accepted, you know, they're going to just automatically know these have to be essential people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that essential people could go in. I didn't know because I was at work, so I didn't know until I got there. So I had to sign up in the previous line for everybody, and then it just so happened someone told me.
Do you have your pass?
Yeah, well, I walk around my stuff. But at that time, I don't think they had passes. I think what they were saying is that you would have to use your ID to search it. Right?
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying now, if you have your pass now.
Well, I haven't gone back out as yet. I haven't gone back out since the shutdown.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So my issue, that's what I'm saying to you. Back then, like, we wouldn't have known, because I mean, if you're at work, you're not necessarily going to be near somewhere. You're going to be hearing the radio or whatever the case is. You might be busy. So what I'm saying is communication, I find also, it's lacking because I come and stand up there for like 3 hours in the regular lane. They could have been gone ever since. And I'm talking So even that was a huge oversight for me. Right? That's just one thing. And I'm going to tell you what, I have my list. So I'm in there, and the people who are cashing, you know, and I've worked cash as well. And whenever someone comes in front of me, sometimes I even make the change before, you know, because I see they might have a change, they have everything patterned, like, well, you're very fast. But for me, I put myself in other people's position. And I find a lot of people don't have empathy, and that's another issue in Barbados right now. Everybody's thinking about themselves, and we're saying, well, you should have social responsibility. We're expecting that from people. But a lot of people, let's face it, even before this, they didn't. The low music that you discussed just now, people were doing that for the long time. They don't care. And the police are going to come to them to address the issue of the music. The police are involved. Back on. Our problems that existed before, but because of the situation, and a lot more people are home now as well, it is more frustrating. It is more annoying. The long waits are more annoying too, because as you were saying before, well, when the gentleman called in, he said something about the bank and he couldn't get through. You were saying, well, if the bank was open every day, and he would be able. But let's face it, sometimes the bank open every day, and still you can't get through. You're on the phone for like 2-3 hours, and then I don't know if they go to lunch then. Or whatever the case is, but you're on the phone and you still don't get through. A whole day passes, sometimes you leave home, you go to the bank to sit down. Before you can even open your mouth and say what you want, they're telling you, as soon as you get home, go and have a seat. People are walking up and down, they see you sitting there, they don't come and ask you what you come for, if you're getting through, nothing like that. If you don't get up and ask a question, or tell them, well, listen, I can't stay here all day, I have to go back to work. You leave home, you can't do 3 or 4 tasks sometimes in a day. You have to go and do one thing. You have to keep going back in town over and over and over. And when the gentleman said about the culture of Barbados and the Bajan way, that is a big problem right now. And it's not going to change overnight. And that's the problem. Like, even with deliveries and shopping remotely, or even businesses operating remotely, a lot of places closed down. When this happened, they're supposed to be operating remotely, and they just closed down. How did you find out about it? When you called the business, there was a voice message, outgoing voice message telling you, well, oh, we shut till the 14th. And these are places you were communicating with, probably even the day or the day before. They didn't say to you, well, I know you have something pending, but it looks like we're going to close down, or at least call the customer. You're talking to a customer or a client every day. You decide that, well, you're going to shut down. Instead of working remotely, you're going to shut down completely. And people have things pending. It doesn't take anything off of you just to call the same customer or client you were talking to all the time and say to them, well, okay, the government said such and such, so we decided we're going to not work remotely. We'll have to get back to whatever it is you're doing if and when we open back or the shutdown is lifted. And I think all of that speaks to the lack of communication, the lack of respect for your clients and your customers. All of that is connected in terms of the way that Bajans do things, and they have to change it.
Mm-hmm. You remember we had, if I don't know if you listen to calling the morning session, this guy, he was going to a doctor, and the doctor decided to shut shop. And he understands, the doctor said he's not opening up until the whole crisis is over. You know, but if the... And, of course, this man feels aggrieved, and he has a right to feel aggrieved. But if that communication that you're talking about had taken place, in other words, if the person within the doctor's clinic had called and said, I'm very sorry to inform you that the doctor, we have to close our operations X, Y, and Z, he wouldn't like it, but at least he would have known. He wouldn't be hearing it secondhand. He would be told direct, they're closing operations, they'll be closed for an indeterminate period, but he would be dealt with immediately after. You know, at least he would have at least something to hold on to.
But that's what I'm saying.
So I'm agreeing with you. That's why I'm saying that, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, go on to your next point.
Right. Also, they said banking, the banks. So my issue with that, when you said banks, some people will automatically assume that credit union is included. Right. Some people might not necessarily say, well, the credit union is a bank. If they had said financial institutions that provide banking services, I think that would have been a little easier. You know, if they have provided a list. But I think right now, I could be wrong, but I think they probably are still speaking with certain institutions to decide if they will open as well. But still, I think they should offer some clarification because, for example, Signia is a financial institution that was created outside of the bank and the credit unions to offer sort of financial services to people that might not necessarily be able to get aid from the bank or even some credit unions, because believe it or not, some credit unions are hard to get through with than the banks. So for me, that's the question there for me also. Like, is Signia going to be included in the list of banking institutions if one is eventually, released? Because right now, I think someone told me COB definitely is opening, so as the credit union. So I want to know if Signia is going to be included, because I have some people that had stuff pending with Signia. And I do want to take this time now to applaud Signia, because Signia did work remotely through this whole curfew. They did call back clients that had queries, and they did keep them abreast of certain things that they had pending. So I will say that I was very impressed with them as a financial institution during this time. And that's saying a lot, because, as I said before, the culture of Barbados really needs to change. And the thing about it is that a lot of people are proud of it. You know, being late, it's something they brag about. You know, like, you have to get work for 8, and 8 o'clock, you're still at home. You know, pressing, instead of pressing the night before. I think that one of the biggest issues with Barbados is a lack of preparedness. And we're even seeing it now with the same pandemic. You know, it's seeing that because there's a lack of preparedness. Like, they should have certain things in place for if something like this does happen. I know that Barbados didn't have a situation like this before, but considering that they had things like SARS and all those other things, they still should have a contingency plan in the event that something like this happens. Some things that went on, I wasn't really pleased with the fact that I know they addressed the situations now, but I couldn't get on before to say that I wasn't pleased with it. Like, for example, they have the farmers that had the fisher folk and certain people that were not necessarily included in the previous list initially with the shutdown, that they had to call in and then they say, well, yeah, you do this. And then they came back and said, well, yeah, you know, we can include these people. For me, that's part of my frustration because I'm a person, I eat healthy. So if you tell me the bakery open, the pharmacy open, the supermarkets were doing remote stuff, but even the deliveries and all, they had too much pressure. They could not handle it because a lot of them didn't have things in place to accommodate deliveries, online stuff, because for years I was saying they should be making a move towards that, but they weren't. A lot of businesses actively refused to do deliveries. I'm not going to call any names, but basically a lot of businesses didn't see a need for it. So that's why I know a lot of people are struggling under the pressure of trying to provide that particular service as well. But even with that, I saw some lack of communication in there that I thought was, at this point in time, it wasn't good enough. Like, if you know a customer calls you or whatever the case is, you message the person, you don't tell them, the person said, okay, what's the price of this particular item? I don't know.
All right. You had a good run, but I would say this. I think people are now getting to understand why, if they can go back to initiatives like YES, remember when that initiative was to basically infuse the whole idea of customer service at a higher level in Barbados, you're now seeing why these things were necessary and why there needs to be that continuous emphasis on customer service, because at the end of the day, communication is everything. It is everything. It's in everything in business and certainly everything in one's personal life. Being able to communicate between yourself and your partner, yourself and your loved ones, yourself and others. And when there's that lack of communication, people, it can lead to all sorts of doubts, fears, anxiety. Yes, you've made some really good points, and I hope those who are listening and who are involved in business recognize that they need to speak to their employees, and they need the employees to get out there and talk to people in those lines. The whole idea that you mentioned, the first thing you mentioned was the whole numbering. Somebody should be out there from early to actually give people numbers, certainly in the beginning, so that you know who are the first set of people to go in, and they're well numbered, because invariably what you find is that there's some bunching sometimes on mornings, or people are assembled at door A when it is door B they should be at, and then all of a sudden some others gather who happen to know that door B is it, gather at door B. And then when the door opens, there's this mad scramble. So those who are in the line at door A, from very early, they are disadvantaged. You know, so these are the types of things that need to be done. And I sincerely hope that common sense prevails and communication is seen for the importance that it really has in this whole matter to make get things running as smooth as possible. All right, thank you very much for your call. We've got 5 more minutes to go. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. Price.
Before we go on, we have to take a break. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. It's Sanka Price with you. Unfortunately, we only have just less than 30 seconds to go. So I need 60 seconds to go. So I need to bid you adieu on behalf of Michelle, of course. I'd like to thank all those who participated in today's program. I think we raised a number of issues. I'm so sorry that the Czar could not join us, but as I said, he is in the meeting with the heads of government. And what we will try to do is to get a number of these questions answered, especially about the public service vehicles, that is the taxis transporting people at this time, people who are ill, and also a couple of the other things I've made a note of here. I also want to remind you of Brass Tacks Sunday. And this Sunday, we want to hear from you how you're coping with the lockdown, some of the challenges that you are having, and we're we should have on board psychiatrists and psychologists to chat with you as well about some of the things, some of the challenges, how to cope with some of the challenges that you may have. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being with us. And on behalf of Michelle, have a great day. Bye-bye.